What day is it gonna be? Oh, May 1st.
April's gone. April
It is.
died.
It is. Have we hit record?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, it's May 1st. We're here with the nonsense and robot section and one design story. Yay! You guys missed Ryan's cats earlier.
Oh,
We're
and
sorry.
security. We also have a couple security stories, like
Oh yeah, I
kind
see that now.
of. We're all dying slowly. It doesn't matter.
We're all
Well, that's
dead, we just
always
don't know it
true.
yet.
There's
Something
never a time
simple.
when we're not doing that.
I'm just like losing my mind.
I don't even.
You think it'll be like RimWorld, where at some point you just break and just wander into a social situation?
I'm living in RimWorld.
A daze. You go into a daze, and then you dig up a corpse somewhere in your neighborhood, bring it back, put it on your kitchen table. And then everyone gets upset because there's a corpse on the table.
That would have so much more extreme ramifications in the real world as it does in RimWorld, where everybody just kind of overlooks it.
Yeah, everyone's just like, oh, there's a corpse in here. Someone put it back.
I accidentally forgot to close the old browser. It's fine
Oh.
now. It's fine. But you know what's not fine? Nintendo. Did you know you can set up two-factor on your Nintendo account? You kind of need to. Nearly 160,000 Nintendo accounts have been compromised in a massive hack. Massive hack.
They say that they're. I guess you have a credit card on file with Nintendo. Is that what's going on there? Because they can buy things with your account.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I guess they'll sell that.
They can, and you can do the Fortnite V-Bucks thing as well because of the whole Epic partnership.
Ah, man. Fortnite. I guess Fortnite has only become more powerful during the lockdown as well.
Yeah, a lot of people are playing games right now. The new game
So,
is Valorant, but all caps, Valorant.
is that the CSGO Overwatch crossover?
Yeah, it seems to borrow more from CS:GO than Overwatch, but yeah, I've seen a lot of people stream it.
Have you tried it?
No, I don't think it's like open yet. I think it's just like closed beta to like certain streamers.
Well, do they not know that you're Platinum Overwatch?
Yeah, I'm ready to go pro as soon as they give me that key.
You know what else was leaked this week? But it was kind of overblown because it's actually an old leak. Valve says it's safe to play CSGO and TF2 after source code leaked online. So, old 2017 source code from Counter-Strike Global Offensive and Team Fortress 2 leaked online today on 4chan. Not today, but when his article was written. And it was kind of an old leak, but a lot of people made a big deal about it. Like, oh, you can, you know, your stuff can be compromised and don't play, blah, blah, blah. But Valve says, no, that's fake news.
I did like reading some people took screenshots of like comments in the code. I was like, I didn't know I worked for Valve. Because they're just like really salty comments. Like, I had to add this because it's stupid.
Well, can you imagine, the kind of nasty feedback we get with our stuff and getting it from those hardcore CS:GO players?
Oh, yeah.
That has to be miserable.
Yeah. So, it's not really anything new. Valve knew about this in 2017 and I guess they negotiated with the attackers or something. And so this was kept under wraps, but then I guess this was compromised again, or the copies that that attacker made somehow leaked out. So there's some, juicy drama that goes with that, but I don't know. Who cares?
Not me.
Doesn't affect those of us who are terrible at online shooters.
Yeah. Somebody had to stop playing for 4 hours while it was sorted. Big deal. I think this was a move designed to discredit an individual more than like, somebody that was like, "Look at me, I hacked some source code." I don't know. It just seems. I have a feeling this is not the last we've heard of this story, but we'll see. Google will make all advertisers approve their identities so people can see who they are and in which country they're in. I didn't already have this, apparently, which seems surprising.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be that big a step since they have to give you money.
But it turns out it's like, oh, you're the mafia? No, yeah, just get a credit card, plastic, cut us a check. We don't care.
Hi, yes, I need to take out an American political ad, and I'll be paying in non-American currency. It's fine. Don't question it. Just take my money.
Well, they did
oil.
Say that
political I'll be paying ads, in oil.
Huh? Go ahead.
No, you said I'm going to pay in oil.
Yeah.
That's the currency I'm going to give you.
I don't think you can use it to pay things right now in oil, because they pay you to take oil, right? Isn't it still a negative price?
For the lower grades, yes, which is hilarious.
Google did clarify that, because a lot of news organizations started writing this up, and Google did want to emphasize that for political ads, they've been doing this since 2018. Now it's just all ads in general. So I guess this is amid the whole pandemic thing that we're in right now, because some people are trying to weaponize that. So it's not exactly a political ad, but it's still useful to know who's advertising what.
Well, it'd be nice with the whole pseudoscience categories, the people advertising the Lysol.
I would like to see Google come out and affirmatively be like, here are our advertising and targeting categories. Notice that pseudoscience and homeopathic medicine, and those are not categories that you can target.
I bet they have even more embarrassing ones. I mean, these are the people who let you target by race.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Vice has an interesting story as well. Researchers say they caught an iPhone zero-day hack in the wild. And this one was especially egregious because you could email somebody that uses an iPhone and it would silently open this thing in the background and run arbitrary code, at least according to the researchers.
Wow.
I like how in this article they're like, well, you don't need to worry about this because only really important people need to worry about this. But what if a really important person is reading that article?
Yeah. Like, oh no.
They don't read Vice.
Probably true.
They're trying to redirect a shipment of the level 1 KVMs to Russia. No. I don't know. We don't use iPhones though, so that'd be tricky. I like how there's this false sense of security just because Apple is draconian with trying to lock down their platforms, that it is actually more secure when in fact almost all the applications written on the iPhone are a garbage tier security. It's just there's so many layers of obfuscation that it's a pain in the ass that nobody wants to fool with.
I mean, it still produces the same result, I guess.
Apple did respond, and they said that Apple takes all reports of security threats seriously. We've thoroughly investigated the researchers' report, and based on information provided, have concluded that these issues do not pose an immediate risk to our users. But they did identify 3 issues in mail. But alone, they are insufficient to bypass iPhone and iPad security protections. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if they walk that back in the next couple of days. Speaking of overreach, Stripe is silently recording your movements on its customers' websites. So, Stripe is a credit card processor. And it used to be that Stripe only wanted you to embed its JavaScript code on the payment processing page. But now, they want you to embed their JavaScript code on all pages. And it does that for fraud detection, so it can try to tell if it's a bot testing credit cards, or so they say. But it turns out that any mouse movement or click or anything, any kind of analytics that you might think of, that's all being reported to Stripe. Kind of sneaky, if you ask me.
I like Stripe's response to this, which is what you said, fraud detection, but that goes way too far for fraud detection.
Yeah.
Because that's super useful if you can tell, an advertiser exactly when someone backs out of a transaction.
Yeah. It's also true that things like a mobile phone. So if you're in a mobile phone emulator, the accelerometer never changes. But if you're on a real mobile phone, the accelerometer information is not privileged. So if the accelerometer information is changing the background, chances are you're on a real phone, not a simulated one. Lots of little gotchas like that. So, have you guys heard of a company called Cognizant? I hadn't before this article. TechCrunch reports that Cognizant confirms May's ransomware attack and says customers face disruption. So this is almost a $20 billion a year IT consulting company for the Fortune 500 that has been hit with ransomware. It's a little scary.
Pretty nasty ransomware too. And so bad that they actually gave financial guidance based on it. So. Yeah. Can you imagine if these guys were working from home and all of a sudden it's oh God.
Somebody's going to have to go into the office to deal with this.
Everybody's going to have to go to the office.
And that's it for security. And next up, we've got our one design story. Krista, I'll let you explain this because my eyes go cross-eyed for design.
Yeah, I don't really understand like the use case for this yet. Times New Arial mutates familiar fonts into something wholly new. So basically, this is just taking two typefaces, Arial and Times New Roman, and then it's more of like a technical accomplishment than a visual one, just looking at it, where it kind of blends them together. And I think the way they make it sound is that it would just be one source file.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is like if you look at the animated like piece GIF thing, it's like think about some of the people that we've dealt with that is just like, oh, this needs to be like two more pixels, and it's like, okay, you can specify this in a web safe way now, so somebody can literally spend 8 or 10 billable hours making the CSS properties of this font the exact way that they want, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, see, this from a technical perspective, I like this because it means that I don't have to harass a client for, you know, 20 different fonts that they need that we then have to include, which is each one of those is an HTTP request. But I don't know how like useful it would be for me as a designer.
Well, I took it more as, I thought it was like the, because you know how fonts can change based on the responsiveness. I thought it was going to try to use the best font to fit in whatever container it had.
I don't think so. Maybe that is.
I think it's just changing the style and like all the parameters of a font, like how italic it is and all that stuff. You can control that.
Yeah. It's just one file instead of having to like, because each time if you're doing like a true italic versus a faux italic, those are two separate declarations.
Yeah, Krista, aren't you on about like the ligatures and stuff? And it's like, no, this file doesn't have the correct ligatures to make
this so like sometimes
the
they'll tell you like, oh, make this font bolder. But you could do a full bold where it will just randomly put like an extra stroke around the whole character, but then it looks weird. So ideally you would have a separate font file with the bold style that was designed by a typographer. This is like more like a faux bold, I think, based on the article. But then if you read to the very bottom, they're like, the research people who did this are like, we don't really know what the use case is for this yet. It's kind of just a research thing. So
the use case is to get clicks.
Yeah.
Well, it worked brilliantly. It
succeeded. Mm. Yeah. I think this is kind of, it's a cool idea. I don't know about the execution yet. I'm not sure. Yeah. What the use case is.
What would be the two worst fonts to marry like this?
Arial and Times New Roman.
I'm thinking like Comic Sans and Zapfino.
There's like seven people in the audience laughed at that engagement challenge. Let us know who you are in the comments.
Well, everyone knows Comic Sans. Zapfino is like a script font. It would be really hideous.
Somebody's going to link to their homework project, which implements this with those two fonts.
Ugh.
So bad.
It would be very bad.
And then I have a great transition story for like design and, you know, crossover, because as you might imagine, with the economy basically being shut down, not a lot of advertising going on. A lot of ad agencies are looking around real nervous. Well, good news from the New York Times, an ESPN commercial hints at advertising's deep fake future. So ESPN, this ad agency in ESPN, came up with a deepfaked commercial. They took like a young version of an announcer and deepfaked the old announcer onto a young version of himself in kind of an obvious way that was meant as like tongue-in-cheek humor, but it actually freaked a lot of people out, which the ad agency probably thinks is great.
Oh, well, it's free advertising for them.
Well, he referenced the documentary in the time frame the documentary was about, which was the late 90s. But I got to think, so ESPN has got to be getting killed, right? There are no sports.
ESPN.
This documentary probably got more views than it ever could have hoped. These guys are the best thing that could have ever happened to them was complete removal of sports from the world. The month that their documentary about the Bulls reign of terror comes out.
And the deep fake, which actually worked really well. And the article sort of supposes that, hey, we might see a lot of deep fakery because, you know, if Woody Harrelson or another actor like that doesn't have to be involved in the production of, like, say, a car commercial, they could probably be just fine with taking a check and then having some other actor do it. Like, probably don't care.
Yeah, say, well, it kind of reduces the demand for actors even more. If I can just do this with a program, why bother?
In this case, they had the guy. But what happens when you want JFK to sell your car? Because there's public domain videos of JFK. Is that okay? Can we do that?
Who owns the rights to JFK's likeness after he dies?
Right now, they can't film regular commercials, so I could see like this being very useful.
I want to see Fuller House with the Ron Swanson guy, but instead of Ron Swanson, it's JFK.
But, they make the argument here. It's like, oh, well, are we ever going to be able to trust advertisements again? Who trusts them now? It's a silly argument.
I only trust influencers.
It's the only reason we have. Oh, meta humor there.
Stacy's like angry over there in the corner.
Well, on to robots. The robot will see you now. A Boston hospital is using Spot, the dog-like robot of the internet fame, to screen for corona thingy. Almost. Yeah. So this is the Boston Dynamics robot. Boston Dynamics actually open sourced a lot of the stuff that runs on this so that medical workers can use this. And so they're using it for screening and other things like that that interact with a lot of people because, well, you can do it with a robot now.
I like how they talked about the reason you need Spot for this, because they're like, yeah, we've got robots that could do this job, but they don't work in the quarantine tents outside in the grass. Only for the inside hospital people.
The tile floor.
They talk about adding parts to him, and I can't help but imagine a Spot with like a vaccine scorpion tail.
No, like one of the nose swabs. Yeah.
This looks like
it just holds you down and gets it up your nose.
It looks like the hardware they added to this is some cardboard and an iPad.
Also has a pouch on its tail.
Yeah.
So is it like the old avalanche dogs, but instead of bringing you some whiskey to warm you up, it's bringing you some vaccine?
Open your nostrils, human.
But they said that, you know, this checks you out when you're checking in, so that when you come to the hospital, you don't have to actually be next to a doctor. But they talked about they like the Spot's mobility because he could, like, move around you and check you from all angles. How awkward is that? Are you just like, perfectly still? And the Spot's just circling you menacingly.
You may feel a pinch. What? What are you doing back? Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Also, robots built for good or evil, I don't know. People are making bots to snatch Whole Foods delivery order time slots. I love the artwork here. Krista, what do you think?
This is I have a lot of questions about this artwork.
Robbie McSausage arms.
It was low effort.
Well, I don't think it was, though, because it's like they took individual images and photoshopped them out.
The graphic designer was furloughed.
Yeah, and then they just they removed the background from the sausage, as you can tell, because it's all like jagged. And then they photoshopped it onto a robot. So there was some effort put into it, but it's like the weirdest type of effort.
So just think about, you know, I mean, we take this for granted, but this really shows you the amazing leap forward in technology. Just look at that headline and imagine going back to the 1950s and reading that sentence to another human being.
What's life going to be like in 2020?
It shows this amazing like robot technology, but also a terrible darkness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we seem to be at a truce with our local grocery delivery thing for the office because I've still got the regular office restock orders coming in. And so now because I've been canceling, every time they substitute the water, I cancel it. I'm like, nope, I don't want that. And so they have to take it back. And so now they've gotten to where they'll substitute, like we get 3 cases of water or 4 cases of water. They'll substitute one of the cases of water. And it's like, all right, I'll take that. That's fine. So it is sort of interesting how that's working out.
You think that's a human decision?
To do the substitution? I don't know, maybe. Yeah. There's probably a human component to it. If not, that's a damn good AI. It's like, okay, he's going to reject it if we substitute it. Let's substitute a little bit.
My cats are now attacking my power cord. Hang on. Actually, don't hang on. Just continue without me. I couldn't help
them. Or just put them up in the camera.
This is probably my favorite story of the week.
Stop it.
An ailing Intelsat satellite begins new life in orbit after historic servicing mission success. So basically, there was a satellite in orbit that was out of fuel, and we launched another satellite to strap a fuel pack to old satellite, and that worked successfully. We were able to launch the satellite and get that satellite to connect to this satellite, and it still works, and everything is under control, and so this satellite will continue to be useful, which seems amazing.
I'm going to be honest. I was only half listening because, like, I just saw Ryan's camera just go tumbling. And now there's kitty cat. Look how happy.
Yeah, the cats were attacking the power cord, apparently, so.
Look at him. Chat's going to love that.
Support Crouton and Toast's food budget at patreon.com/level1.
Greenies. Oh, he's so happy. Makes me want to go pet Rue.
Basically, this was an old satellite that launched in 2001, and it was perfectly... We're still using it, which is, you know, pretty awesome that we're using satellite technology that old. But it was out of fuel. So basically, we just strapped some new... like a new fuel system. Like, we didn't refuel this one. We literally just bolted on more stuff to this satellite, and then that stuff can be controlled remotely. So works pretty well.
You think they'll get another 20 years out of it?
I would hope that we're not still using a 40-year-old satellite. That would be like using Sputnik in the 90s. That'd be bad.
The thing that immediately came to my mind about this is, what's going to stop me from grabbing somebody else's satellite?
Yeah, you think this is like a subtle flex to like Russia or something? That's like, we see your spy satellite in orbit. Look what we can do.
And then you got to build another satellite that's bigger that captures the satellite thief satellite.
No, you're not going far enough with that. It's literally battle bots in space.
What?
Because we have to weaponize our satellites. So if there's a rogue satellite coming to our satellites, it gets out like the spinny saws or the flamethrower or something like that.
No, we're going
to
have the Space Force. Yeah,
well,
the Space Force will be out there protecting those.
Space Force can't be scrambled quickly enough. They can only pick up the carnage.
A 3-day launch. Although satellites move slow. Maybe one satellite could run from the other one while you scramble the Space Force. And every encounter will only cost about $1 billion.
Vice has another story. This is another one of my favorites. This open source program deepfakes you during Zoom meetings in real time. We should probably turn this into its own video on, like, step-by-step how to install this. So they've got a screenshot here of someone that has deepfaked themselves as Elon Musk. And
why would you be so happy to see him in your Zoom call?
Do you think they got to try the accent?
No, well, I mean, it's just the video. It doesn't do the audio.
No, what I was saying, did he try to do the accent to, like, sell it?
I kind of doubt it.
She looks like she just got proposed to, and it's just, you know, a fake Elon Musk on a chat room call.
Well, he's a billionaire. She's immediately in love. It didn't seem like it was that great, but they're going to improve this, and I don't know. It's going to be huge. Especially if the lockdown continues, how long before you think the government steps in and says, no, we got to regulate this. We can't have this.
Probably as soon as something embarrassing happens.
What if somebody were to do something like insanely stupid, like impersonate a powerful person in the government and suggest people do something really medically risky?
I've got some Tide Pods and a martini glass back here. I think we're all set. Microsoft is launching PlasmaBot to encourage people who recovered from the thing to donate their plasma as a possible treatment. Notice that the World Health Organization has said that there's no evidence that if you've been infected that you are now immune, but hey, let's collect your plasma just in case.
Now, in normal times, you get some money for plasma, right? Isn't it pretty decent money?
You get more money from plasma than blood.
The word donate here is ridiculous. We got to throw these people some dollars.
We already did. It's $1,200.
Stimulated.
We could give them another 12 for the plasma, I think.
Okay. Our next story, I don't know. Somebody's definitely feeling the lockdown insanity. This AI's only function is to draw penises.
I feel like they could have just gotten like a 12-year-old boy to do this for free and spent way less time.
But it doesn't draw the whole thing.
Yeah.
You start and it finishes.
Yeah. And but it was trained with 10,000 doodles. Like, where did they get that input set? Did they make that input set themselves? Where did that come from?
They just went around to public bathrooms.
Road trip. There's a link to the GitHub page in the article if you want to check it out. So,
if you're really looking to stay busy during this quarantine.
Yeah, we've got an uplifting story for you. BCI system gives paralyzed man back a sense of touch with haptic feedback. And I was thinking this was going to be something like not super involved, but it actually turns out it's really invasive. So this guy was in a car wreck, and it really messed up his spine. They had to implant something in his brain, but the thing in his brain really just receives an amplified version of the signals that are coming from his arm. So it turns out that he actually is perceiving touch at like a subconscious level, but it's not enough. There's not enough of the signal level or whatever is not high enough from his nerves for his brain to actually say that that is, you know, a real touch event happening. So he's been modified, and so he's getting sort of a sense of touch back as a result of that modification.
This makes me feel like, because you know that it's not perfect, so they have to kind of like map the movement to the sensation. So somewhere that's being stored, a model is being created. And we're probably like 30 years away from this same technology, just completely simulating all human experience.
Yeah.
This is totally Matrix-like stuff, given along the timeline. Yeah. Because they just have to pop that thing into your brainstem, and they already know, hey, this is what it feels like to raise your arm. So they can just make that happen.
We literally will be the Futurama head in jars. Like, that will be a technology. But it won't be 1,000 years. It'll be more like 100.
I think a great dystopian fiction is a future where this is a thing. And you never know if your experience is real. So you have to come up with this crazy, like, torture cult to bring you to new heights of pain that aren't previously mapped so that you can determine if you're being simulated or not.
I thought you were going to go with like the Inception thing where he has like the top that he spins to tell reality or not, but yours is much better.
They could simulate that. That never made any sense to me in Inception, why those things, certain objects didn't do that.
Yeah, because in theory you could just, yeah.
Yeah, it would be an easy thing to simulate.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you have to like, a surgery robot has to remove your skin and reattach it with no anesthesia, because the haptic feedback machine can't simulate that. And if you feel nothing during that process, you're in a simulation.
That would be a very, very dark novel.
But yeah, and you go more insane every time you are in the real world and that happens because of the pain.
What about things like, you know, in order to save the human race, we have to do that because there's just not enough energy, that we can't produce enough food for everybody to live in the real world. You're just going to have to be a brain in the jar because that's the most energy efficient thing to do.
But why do we need those brains?
Well, because the brain is still the most efficient computation device compared to like what we've been able to produce technologically.
So it's really just the end of that story is that it turns out it was always brains in a jar. There were no real people.
Yeah, yeah. It was always brains in a jar, but we had to completely rediscover technology over a period of like 3,500 years or 10,000 years or whatever. So all of recorded creation and all of our current history and mythos and all that has actually just been since the brain in a jar days.
I mean, that is just the Matrix at that point.
We need to start shooting this as soon as the lockdown's over.
No, we'll just deepfake it. We don't need actors anymore.
Our last story is about Violet, the robot that can kill the virus. And it looks to me like it's just a fluorescent light on a Roomba, but, you know, what do I know?
Well, I was actually going to cut this one. I forgot. But it's because remember the other ultraviolet robot has like 12 tubes?
Yeah.
This one's got one.
Yeah, but it's really bright. No, yeah, it seems terrible.
I guess it's more directed because the other one was a 360 rotation.
In the video, Time also had this other robot, which just seems really smug. Like, the robot's just looking around with all the old people. And it's like, I'm a piece of technology. I'm going to live forever. You guys have 1, maybe 2 years tops.
I really dislike its face. It seems to me that they could have gotten away with a much cuter face if they had just put one screen on there instead of breaking the mouth up away from the eyes.
Maybe cute was not what they were going for.
Notice that it has a face on its chest with those black marks too. And that face is much cuter.
That's to distract predators. You know, give them a false face.
Yeah.
It's like the back of a tiger's head.
Like an anglerfish.
So, yeah. Basically, this robot just, you put it in a room, and it sweeps the room like a Roomba. It just goes all the way around the room, shining the light on everything. Yeah.
People are now selling a water bottle that UVs the inside of itself after every use.
That's been a thing for a long time. You can get that for backpacking, yeah. The issue is you have to carry extra batteries with it, and like it goes through batteries really quickly. So
yeah, imagine. So how long do you think this would have to go on, the crisis? Or maybe we get back to a world where, you know, we just live with it all the time. Then we start building UV into houses, kind of like, you know, central vacuums were a thing for a while.
Yeah, and you just start.
But you've got like a central UV light that you just drag out, put on a pair of sunglasses, and just UV down all of your rooms.
It's like the Amazon delivery driver's outside and your whole porch is just covered in UV lights and he's standing on the porch and it's just like, hang on a second there, cover your eyes, and you hit the big button and it's just on your porch. Disinfecting.
I can totally see, like a UV delivery tray, you know? Like have one of those sliding delivery things like in prison or in the medical wards where they have to separate people. So it's like a big tray and you come out and they put your stuff in it and you slide it back in and it just UVs everything.
I've seen sillier things. I mean, that's probably a $1 million product idea right there. The level one product disinfectorator.
We patented it. Don't try to make it before we do. We'll see.
Yeah, it seems like that would work. Well, we're just barely staving off the cabin fever. We hope you are too. Maybe things will be back to normal soon. I don't know.
I think this is definitely going to be one of the worst weeks ever for level one news.
It's always, every week though, they tune in. Who knows what new audio problem we'll have or camera problem or
engagement challenge. How bad was it?
I'm not going to have this audio set up next week, no matter what. So
don't worry
about that.
It's like
going back in time to when we first started and we didn't know what we were doing.
We had no idea. We still have no idea, but it's fine.
But it's improved, usually.
Well, we know how bad this is. We just don't care.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.